So the parables that we heard today, and there are a slew of them, I mean, we're in that parable season now. It's the season of post-Pentecost, one could call it. And we'll often hear texts that have to do with parable texts. It's a time in which we hear those things that Jesus teaches his people. And he oftentimes taught in parables. And throughout these many parables, we heard references that oftentimes in sermon, and I've done an awful lot, we like to think that it refers to faith in general. For example, the treasure is the gift of faith. And when we find it, we hold it dear. It becomes center to our life. We treasure our faith as a gift. Or it could be we see it as kind of the pearl of our life. It is that which we hold in high value. It could also be like that of a mustard seed, so small in us, yet it grows to great heights and can be significant for those around us. Maybe it's kind of like the yeast, when added to our life, gives new shape and new form, new substance. One could say, in a way, a kind of a new texture as far as our life is concerned. Or maybe one could see our life as kind of being a net. Our faith is a net that pulls together the best that we have to give praise and honor to God. And I've preached that many, many times. But these texts have also been described as, these parables, as the surprise parables, because they are just that. It was a surprise to find a treasure. It was a surprise to discover a pearl of great value. It's a surprise what a mustard seed can do. Is it not a surprise, in essence, every time you make bread or rolls, what yeast can do to the flour and the water that you add? Is it not a surprise that what a net can bring forward when it's thrown into the water? These are surprise texts. And I want to see if I can add just a little bit more surprise to them. For I believe that in a text today, when Jesus talks about the treasure and the pearl, and the desire of the person who finds them to do whatever it takes to claim them as his own, I believe that describes God and us. We're the pearl. We're the treasure. Do you ever think of yourself as that? Oh, I know it's easy to think of God who barely has compassion on us at times, who tolerates us more than not. That's the image sometimes that we have. And so we oftentimes come to God begging forgiveness, asking, look with different eyes upon us. It's kind of a God who tolerates us. But the text today says God treasures us, looks upon us as the pearl of his eye. He longs to be a part of us so much so that he sold the best that he had. He gave the best that he had to pay the price to hold us close. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. And in that high price, God won you and I, the treasure, the pearl of God's eye. Just chew on that for a while. What would that mean to think of yourself and God's church as the pearl, the apple of the eye of God, the treasure he so longs to have nearby? I think as well that the image that God has of us as treasure and as pearl, I think we carry with us as well in our understanding and our view of the world. It's easy for us in this world today, especially with the attacks that sometimes appear to be confronted towards those who are believers. The common phrase in the world today is, I wish we had a world without religion. They seem to be the source of all anxiety and conflict and wars in our world and past history. It's easy to look at the world as being a threat. But Jesus doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Because the God's view of the world is the same view that God has of you and I. And that is, it is his treasure. It is his pearl. He made it, and he loves it, longs for it so much that he gives his son, Jesus Christ. That is and needs to be our view of the world. It's not a threat to us. It's our treasure. It's our pearl. It's where we want to be out and claim as a part of us, as a part of God. It's where we want the world to know the price God paid for them, the willingness to give his son so that the world might know that God does not condemn the world, but rather loves the world and claims it as the pearl of his eye. I think as well that the story and the parable of the mustard seed is the seed that God has planted, and that seed is you and I. We're that mustard seed, so small in the shape of world events and the number of people on this planet, both past, present, and those yet to come. So small are we, yet what possibilities we are able to accomplish through God, through Jesus. What possibilities the church, as small as it might be in the midst of the world in which we live, can be, as I explained to the children, a place of home for those in need of rest, a place of hope for those who are disillusioned, as a place of direction for those who are floundering through this world, as a place of mercy where mercy is never seen. The community of faith, you and I, we're that mustard seed that God has planted where? In the midst of the flower. You know, it says in the story that the woman took 3 measures of flour and added yeast. 3 measures of flour, in essence, was enough to feed the entire town. And it symbolizes the world. 3 measures of flour is the greatness of the world. And you and I are the yeast planted in its midst to give, one might say, an added texture, to give a kind of new life. Isn't that what yeast does to bread? Take out the yeast and what do you have? Some flat piece of stuff there that you don't want to eat. Too chewy, too messy. In a certain way, it's kind of lost its texture, its purpose in life. But with the adding of a yeast, it's as though the flour comes to life. It raises and it strengthens and it adds a texture that allows it to be a flavor to those who eat of it. And that's what it means to be the yeast. That's what it means, in essence, to be the yeast. God has placed us in the midst of the flour, the world. We claim it as our place, where we can give life and meaning, where we can add texture to a world that has none. We're that mustard seed planted as a place for the weary, as a place where others can call home, but we are also that yeast that brings life and texture to the world. The last example used, the last parable, is that of a net cast out and when brought in gathers all kinds of fish, all kinds of possibilities in its net. Well, God throws that net into the world, and you and I are that net. Each of us going out in our separate ways, each of us gathering together in our words and in our witness and in our service, others who need to hear and need to know, others who can come and be a part of the greater net, the catch of God in the world. You and I are that net, drawing together the lost, drawing together the forgotten, drawing together those who are constantly in search, drawing together those who are in need of mercy. That's what we are about. We are that net that God casts into the world. I know, parables are really about God, but they are also about you and I, because we are the source, the means by which God accomplishes his task in the world. We are the treasure and the pearl that God holds in high esteem, And we want to be a sign of that treasure that the world can experience as well, that they too are the treasure in God's eyes. We are that mustard seed giving life in the midst of the farm, in the midst of the plantation, where others who are in need of rest can find it, where mercy can be found, a place where the weary can find a place that they can call home. We are the yeast of God, adding texture and life to a world. And we are the net that God has cast into the world. Let us do so with conviction. Amen.